think if we just follow this weed line along, and we might just head up. We won't cut across into that other billabong yet. We'll just keep going straight up to Red Lily Billabong.
Yep.
Beautiful. All right. While he's doing that, I'll just get a few things ready. First thing is protection. And we use a 45 caliber ACP, which is automatic Colt pistol. So really, I'll just leave that loaded but with a hammer back. So perish the thought, but it's always good to have these things ready to roll if need be.
Now, the Mary River, quite highly populated in crocodiles?
Oh, the most populated river in the world. So where we are at the moment is probably, density-wise, is the most croc-infested place on Earth.
And I'm cruising this croc-infested river in the evening light in a small tinny with just croc catcher Roger Matthews and his off-sider Justin. And of course, thankfully, we've got his trusty sidearm for protection. Hello, Lisa Herbert with you from Annaburu Station, about 100 kilometres east of Darwin in the Northern Territory. Now, cattle stations and big saltwater crocodiles aren't exactly the best of neighbours. Cattle are an easy feed for a big croc lying in wait at a waterhole, and Annaburu manager Adrian Phillips reckons he loses more than 100 head a year in croc attacks. That's why he employs a contracting croc catcher to keep numbers in check. It helps protect his stock and his staff from attack.
Mary River is our boundary. And then, yeah, off the Mary, of course, you've got creeks that run all through the property. And in the wet season like now, all those little creeks all end up water right through to dams, pretty well all over the property, eh?
So pretty much your whole property's crocodile habitat?
Yeah, we've got crocodiles here in dams that are up to 20 k's off the main river. And that's because the numbers are so high, they're pushed out, they're everywhere, eh? Like at the moment, I'm seeing quite a few just getting around. We've got a creek about a k from the house here. There was one there that took a dog last week. So, yeah, they're a bit of a problem. So, you know, yeah, what do you do? I got a view. The crocs can stay in a river. Oh, I'm not worried about the ones in the river. My cows can stay out of the river. That's a pretty good deal. But I'm not real keen on spending 30 grand digging a dam and 2 weeks after the rain comes and fills it up, I've got three crocs in there killing my cattle. So
you've specifically built those dams to keep those cattle away from the river. However, the crocs are finding their way anyway. But it's easier to manage those crocs in those dams.
Yeah, that's making a lot easier with Roger can come into those dams there and, you know, he reckies there, has a good look around spotlights, etc., and target those ones, those particular animals, because, yeah, we're in crocodile country. We've got to use our brains, not just go and kill every crocodile in the country. That's not the answer. But we do have to be doing something because the numbers of the crocodile in the river is that great. They're pushing them out. There's not enough room in the river and they're just going everywhere.
Some of the crocs you've captured, you're able to determine how many cattle they've actually eaten. How do you do that?
Yeah, modern technology. Nowadays, with cattle, we've put a Nils tag in their ear. I've got a wand here, which is a handheld wand, and I've actually run it over a few of the crocs that we've caught and about 2 months ago. And when it reads the tag, right, it makes this beep beep noise. And if it's already read the tag, it'll only beep once. So you can only read the one tag once. And it just kept beep beep, beep beep, beep beep. There's three tags. That is three tags from a right ear in that one croc. Right, so how many cattle has he fed on where he hasn't eaten a right ear, right? And that croc was actually only 3.2 metres and he had three tags. So he consumed $5,000 worth of beef that I know of, and unfortunately they were all our ear tags.
Go up around and we'll go around him.
Adrian Phillips estimates he spends up to $100,000 every year managing his crocodile problem on Annaburu Station. This involves fencing off sections of the Mary River and building dams and troughs where the stock can drink. But when the wet season comes and the billabongs and creeks overflow, the crocodiles are back. And that's where Roger Matthews comes into his own.
Up here, this Annaburu billabong here joins up to another billabong called Red Lily. It's usually a Red Lily, it's got the Bamboo Creek. And from Bamboo Creek, crocodiles going up there can go into any of the dams literally on the station. So what we achieved in the last 9 months, we're back to square one again now because it's full of crocodiles again.
So square one happens every wet season?
Pretty well, yeah.
How many crocodiles did you pull out of the waterways around Annaberu last year?
Well over 40. And this year, I think we're up to, on the permit we got now, which is a problem crocodile permit. There's two. There's a harvest permit and a problem croc. We're on the problem croc side of it, and we've done 18 so far. Just cut around this tree just and cut through a bit of this grass, mate. Then we might just pull up. I normally operate out of a 4.5 metre Vino's punt. So you've got about 6 inches, maybe 8 inches of freeboard.
Which means you're really close to the water.
Absolutely, yes.
And why do you use that?
Well, we're live capture specialists, so when we've got an animal, we try to bring it on board. We tie the sharp bit up at the side of the boat.
The bitey bit.
The bitey bit, yeah. We tie that up and we drag it on board and secure the rest of it. It's just a lot easier to drag a 3.5 metre crocodile over 6 inches. People can adjust their weights and where they are. Try to drag one on here, you end up doing your back end and that. So when we get a bigger animal in the boat like this, we tend to tie it up high and up near the bow, and then we putt, putt, putt to the bank somewhere we know we can get a vehicle, and we'll tie it off, GPS it, and come back with a vehicle.
How do you catch them without using a trap?
We've got a harpoon. We'll set one up. These poles down here are harpoon poles.
As in something injects itself through the skin of the crocodile? Is
yes.
That how it works?
Absolutely. And basically, we just come up from the bow and stab it in the crocodile's back. Called a harpoon, but it's not like when you're going whaling. It only goes just in under the skin, and these barbs catch under the skin, and providing you don't pull that VB cord too strong, you can work it like a big fish. It can take a couple of hours sometimes to bring a big one in without losing it. And that's because
they struggle and they tow you?
Yes. Yeah, a bit like if we were whaling, it'd be called a Nantucket sleigh ride sort of thing. And they can tow you a long way, as long as you keep the pressure and you're not pulling too much. Now and then they'll go under logs, and then we've got to counteract that with a gaff pole, and we'll pull it up the other side. We might have to cut it and retie it quickly, and it's a battle.
Why do you catch them live instead of shooting them?
Good question. I love catching crocodiles. And when you do it live, they're tied up appropriately. If you do need to shoot them, it can be done humanely and ethically. But, depending what you're after, if you're after females, no one wants to buy a dead one. You know, so we can sex the animal on board and make some calls. Hey, we've got a 2.8 metre female croc, which in a farming sense is worth maybe 35, 40 eggs a year, which is a lot of money in a couple of years when it comes to skins. So,
can I ask how much you might get paid for that croc from a local croc farm?
I haven't sold to a croc farm for a while, but you'd probably get $1,500 or a couple of $1,000.
And keeping in mind that on Annaberu Station, your job, I guess, is to keep those crocodiles away from cattle, would it make more sense just to shoot them for economies of scale? You can probably shoot more in a night than you can catch.
Yes, but you wouldn't recover them all. And to guarantee that they die straight away, they're very resilient animals. You know, they've got a four-chambered heart, so they can get a limb torn off. They'll survive limbs pulled off quite easily, things like that. So if you shoot one, unless you've got it obviously in a main organ, but if you shoot in some meaty bits and that, it just gets over it and lives. Might be a little bit of a jolt here.
So we've just pulled up to a bit of a dam wall. What's on the other side?
As tight as possible, please. The other side there is the Mary River.
I'm looking at crocodile slides, so I know they've been here.
Okay, you see the holes in the bank there? That's the back feet. So that's propelling itself up, and all that flattened off area is where they're coming from the Mary River into the Billabong and vice versa back again. So
this little weir would probably be about 4 metres across and a couple of metres high. So they don't mind getting out of the water?
Oh, on the other side there, that drops off to maybe 5 or 6 metres. So there's a lot of water in the river at the moment, but it's a bit of an effort for them to get up. It's quite steep, but I've seen it here one time. It was that many crocodiles coming up and over. So,
remind me, why are we getting out of the boat again?
We just got to have a look at the dam wall and see if we can see any crocodiles along here, for which there's possibly a few. And I'll just grab insurance policy 45.
Insurance policy number 45 being a handgun, awesome.
So we have crossed here before, generally night time, and we always have head torches, and you're always panning in front.
It really is quite interesting to be a rural reporter walking alongside a guy with a 45 in his hand while we're all scanning for crocodiles on a cattle station. And
in the most croc-infested place in the world. How better does it get?
So we've seen some crocodiles, Roger, but we haven't been able to get close enough. What does it mean for you as a business not to be able to get close to these crocs tonight?
It just means I've got to do a bit more travelling on the station and find where they're a little bit thicker and go around the other side of these trees, just.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, tonight is just a night of spending a bit of money, not making any, but some nights are really good and, you know, you just take the good with the bad. That's why sometimes we do 19-hour days. You come out for a few hours, it's not really worthwhile, but after 19 hours, you've certainly had enough.